Slack is just a way for you to communicate. If you are in a physical office, you're not going to your office mate's cubicle every hour. You're not. That's just weird.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Grow your business without the guesswork. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Hello, good morning. Once again, we have a very happy Monday. It is a holiday in the United States, and my team is taking a break. Today is Memorial Day, and so happy Memorial Day to our listeners in the United States of America. I grew up in the Philippines, so I am just like celebrating with you guys. And I'm actually not on a break because I've accepted very few important calls for today, but it's all good because I think that's just how the entrepreneur life is. Sometimes you have calls on a holiday or a weekend, and sometimes your Tuesday morning is all sleeping in and watching true crime, which is my life lately. I actually recently started watching this series on Netflix called Cold Case Files. And my husband started to be worried about me because I just kept watching it. And he was like, isn't that making you feel more anxious, or does it make you feel unsafe or something? But I actually gave it a thought, because why do I like these true crime shows so much? And I told him that my hunch is it's because it really gives me a huge satisfaction when they solve the case, when they have this one forgotten piece of DNA that they found, or even, you know, in the past, the technology was not that good, and then eventually it got better and they finally got the guy. And so there's also some really amazing twists in between. And one of the things that I actually found super fascinating in that show was they were talking about a specific way to track someone's like genealogy. And with a piece of DNA found at a crime scene, the technology now can comb through certain profiles in the DNA businesses or something like that, or maybe even in the system, and they can track relatives. So even if someone hasn't submitted a DNA profile in the system, in the government system, in the police system, they can still be tracked, you know, in a way through their cousins or their siblings or their mother or something like that. So that was pretty fascinating to me. And honestly, the better they get at solving these crimes, the more safe I feel. So it's such an emotional journey to even like really think about my husband's question of like, why do you keep watching this? What's in it for you? And actually, I thought that I would invite someone here on my podcast, an entrepreneur who is just as obsessed with true crime as me. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. If you have a recommendation, let me know. And if you want to talk true crime to me, find me on Instagram at Carla Stefan, KARLASTEFAN. Find me on Instagram. Today is another happy Monday and another episode. And I have decided to give a masterclass through our podcast today. And this is going to be a masterclass on delegation. So, as a lot of you may know, I am in the outsourcing industry. I am the founder and owner of Proximity Outsourcing. That's proximityoutsourcing.com. We do manage outsourcing and we help fast growth online businesses scale fast and easy through fully independent remote teams. We focus on managerial roles. We also have under that umbrella Proximity Placements, which is a recruitment company. We help you recruit your dream team in 30 days or less anywhere in the world you want them to be. We focus mostly in the Philippines, Latin America, US, and Canada, but we also have partners in the rest of the world. And very, very soon, and you guys have the first dibs on this, we are going to be launching Proximity Projects. That's proximityprojects.com. We will be having super cheap subscriptions there, like our podcast subscription of $595 a month, short form videos, unlimited short form video editing for $595 a month. So we also have design, content writing, email management. We have all of it, all under $1,000 a month, all managed for you. So we are about to launch that. So definitely get in touch with me if you're interested. So you can be one of our first 20 clients. We're going to give a huge discount. And most of all, we're going to make it look awesome because you guys will be our first few testimonials and our first few affiliates. And as you know, I am very passionate about growing my business organically and through people who just love my service. That's how I've grown my business, and I really, really love this method because it just keeps the quality of the work really high, and I have a really deep relationship with my clients. And of course, shout out to our client success managers, and also shout out to our client success consulting partner, Huckleberry Consulting. They're also the sponsor of this podcast. And if you want to grow your business through improving your customer satisfaction, retention, and loyalty, check out consulthuckleberry.com and check out all of their offers for customer and client success audits. If you want to hire a CSM also without the guesswork, without having to doing all the onboarding and training by yourself, definitely visit their website, consulthuckleberry.com. But before that, let's talk about delegation. So I know a lot of you women love the D, and this is the D that you should have in your life. I noticed that in my business in outsourcing, there are a lot of people who still struggle with the action or the habit of delegation. Some of them, it's an attitude thing. It's like, oh, I'm not really used to being a boss. I'm not really used to like telling people what to do. They have all these kind of internal struggles with how they feel towards even giving someone to do. And so sometimes it starts there. It starts with the principles and the feelings and your comfort, and then eventually, you learn a lot of tactics on how to delegate properly. And so I realized that even though I've been in this business for 7 years and I've helped businesses of all sizes, I have a client who is a solopreneur and a coach who makes 200 to 250K a year, and she has two teammates. So that's her burn. She makes 20 to 25K a month, and her staff just costs her under $2,500 a month. So she takes home over 20K, and she's very happy. She lives a very chill life, travels a lot. So I serve people like that up to eight-figure businesses. And so I have served companies and clients who have their own HR team also, or have their own management team, and we work with them to really make it possible and to really help them outsource to the Philippines, because that might be something they haven't done before. But in this huge range of clients that I work with, a lot of people still really struggle with how to delegate properly. So that's what we're going to tackle here. First is let's talk about principles. I think that delegation, first of all, has to be an attitude. It should feel natural to you. It doesn't mean that you're going to be bossy and you're going to tell people what to do all the time and you don't want to just do any work. What it means is that it has to feel natural to you to ask other people to do things for you. And so a lot of the mistakes that I see, especially with some female founders and owners, they don't know how to even feel that it's natural to ask for someone to do something. And there's a little bit of caveat here because there are people who are naturally good at this, and those are eldest children. So if you're an eldest child, just like me, I know that this feels more natural to you because you're older, you're kind of the boss of your brothers and sisters, of your younger siblings. And there are times in your life, and you've experienced this even as a kid, you would tell them what to do. You would tell them to do certain chores at home. You'd know how to basically, for lack of a better term, control them. You've studied them, they grew up in front of you, and you know these people. And so, with that, and you're in the setting of the home, of the house, where you're super comfortable, it comes natural to you. And this feeling that delegating is natural, this grows on you, and it definitely shows as you go to school, as you apply for a job, as you start your own business. So I noticed that people who are elder siblings, they have a more natural way to delegate. But for those who are not, which is obviously the majority of people, it's not as natural to them. So I want you to basically close your eyes and feel what it's like to be supported and how good that would feel. And beyond that, I want you to think about the business that you do. And I want you to really have a full positive belief in what you do and how you help people. Think about your customers, think about your clients, think about how you're going to grow their businesses too. Think about the people that you will help. All the livelihoods you will improve, all the lives you will improve. If you are a coach, think about all of the traumas that you can help fix. How about the growth that you're going to give to other people? If you are a hair salon, think about how good you make people feel as soon as they get out and, you finish giving them a haircut and maybe a blow dry and they feel so good. Think about that kind of service that you give to other people. Think about the good that you give to the world and the ripple effect of this benefit. And I want you to think and fully believe in your heart that good people like you deserve support too. So if you find it difficult to feel natural to delegate, I want you to think about how much you deserve support. How much you deserve help, how much you deserve systems, understanding, someone to listen to you. And that's where it all starts. Because it could be something as small as asking your husband to take out the trash or asking your kid to properly arrange their toys after they play. Or maybe you want to ask a little bit of extra from your server when you're dining out, but I want you to make this a practice in your life to feel supported, to have that affirmation that you are doing something good to the world and you are contributing something good to the world. And because of that, you deserve help and you deserve support. And the only way that you can do that and get that help and support is when you delegate. So I want you to really fully feel this. And if it helps, I want you to get out your notebook and your paper and list down the reasons why you deserve support. List down all the things that you do with your time when you freed up the time because you've delegated certain tasks. In my industry, in the outsourcing industry, the founders or the owners of the business usually delegate the tasks that they don't like and the tasks that they don't feel competent in. So a lot of the founders are natural salespeople. They have the idea, they know how to sell the idea, they've talked to the customers, they've validated this idea. So a lot of founders actually naturally fall into the role of the salesperson or the main salesperson, marketing person, promotions person of their company, their mascot, basically the main brand ambassador. And what usually gets left behind is management and operations. And when the founder flings between the role of an implementer or somewhere in the operations, a leadership role in the operations, between that and the salesperson, it's very likely that that owner will get overwhelmed. And then after taking care of operations, there's a lot of little things. Like now you're going to think of client success or customer success. How can you make your clients happy? How can you make them super happy that they refer you? How are you going to grow your market? How are you going to attract your first few affiliates? And now you're thinking about ads. And so there's a lot of things under it. And little tip, after figuring out how to sell and then how to operate or how to deliver, the next thing that owners actually think about is client success or customer success, depending on your product or your service, if you have clients or customers. And so, little tip, of course, for our sponsor for today, check out Consult Huckleberry. They take care of client success management and customer success management if you want to grow your business through increased customer satisfaction, loyalty and retention. Same with clients. If you're a B2B service, check out consulthuckleberry.com, our sponsor for today. So I just want you to really believe in what you do and practice getting that support and really, really digging in your feelings and what you do in your business and listing down the reasons why you deserve that. And then now you've done some sort of inner work, I want you to, of course, practice. I want you to just get over it. Some of the thoughts that you have in your mind will be like, well, I don't want to be a bother to other people, or I don't want to be bossy, or I don't know. It's just not me, you know? So you have to get over those feelings. You have to also know that delegating is a skill, and the better you are at this skill, the better your team will also be at delivering. Because the more that you do it, the more that you practice, the clearer your communication will be. And here's another big advice for you. You have to also prepare as much as you can. So even if you are ready emotionally, and even if you've gotten over it, and you have now no qualms about asking someone to do something or assigning a task, especially if you work with a company like us, your job description will be very clear. The success metrics will be very clear, and the scorecard will be very clear in terms of expectations. And so if you have that, all you now need to do is you have to prepare as much as you can, everything that's needed for you to be able to delegate properly and effectively. So what does this entail? Usually you would prepare certain templates. Of course, you also have to prepare SOPs or standard operating procedures, a certain set of expectations that may be a step-by-step plan to do something. If it helps, I also want you to really take advantage of technology such as a Loom video. Oh my gosh, it's such a huge time saver for me because it just saves, takes a shot of my screen as kind of a video and I can just send the link to any one of my teammates. It has saved me a lot of meetings. In fact, I told my team the less meetings we have, the better, and the less activity our Slack has. Slack, guys, remember, it's an instant messaging tool. It is not your job to be on Slack. Slack is just a way for you to communicate. If you are in a physical office, you're not going to your office mate's cubicle every hour. You're not. That's just weird. Even if my best friend and I worked at the same office, which actually has never happened because me and my best friends just have different careers and we live in different places. But if I am going to think about it, and if that's the case, even if they're my best friend, I don't think I will be bothering them every hour, even every 2 hours, or honestly, more than one time a day. And so think about that. The busier your Slack is, the more broken your operations is. So you can quote me on that because I know enough about being in the operations and consulting for fast growth online businesses. I used to also do revenue optimization consulting, where I would go into a business and find the hidden buckets of money and how they can make more money. And sometimes I realize that they're not making enough money because their team is just not efficient. And so, try to avoid doing Slack every day. So be efficient in terms of delegating, in terms of giving instruction. Practice making requests properly. Be kind. Don't forget your manners. Say please. Or one of the phrases that I really like is, would you be so kind as to? So for example, if someone's like, hey, do you want to catch up? And then we agree on a time. Okay, what about Monday at 5? And then I just ask them, instead of, you know, saying, okay, please send me a Zoom, I still try to be kind. Because it's a request, I say, hey, thank you so much for confirming. Would you be so kind as to send me a Zoom? So for me, I don't know if it's, I'm more careful because English is not my first language, but I think it's just also really nice, especially that I feel like it's such a nice way of asking someone, and it's really hard to say no to someone who says that. So I love that. So I do that to my team as well. I say please a lot. Of course, don't forget your manners. You know, you can say kindly as well. And of course, don't forget to say thank you. And don't forget to throw in a compliment to your teammate every time they do something positive or nice, or if they did the job very, very well. The other thing is, of course, I want you to develop a positive feedback loop, a positive and open feedback loop. So when I say positive, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to criticize. It means that it comes with a positive and nurturing energy. And so it has to be accurate. You have to cultivate a culture in your company or in your agency or practice that when you discuss problems, you are not looking for someone to blame, but rather you are just identifying what the root cause is and you're just trying to help. At the end of the day, there is really no benefit to blaming someone, even if they are to blame. They will know where they were wrong. And so just keep a positive mindset and a positive approach and always be open and transparent. And the other thing that I also find really useful is that when you hire someone or when you onboard them, you have to have a conversation with them that they are hired for a certain reason. They are hired for their intelligence. They are hired because you're confident that they will be able to do the job. They are hired for their experience and that because you believe in them and that you want them to succeed in their role and make them look like a rock star, and that their teammates feel the same way. You have to tell them that and have that conversation. Make it a really positive part of your culture that people are open and transparent, because sometimes even if you're very good at delegating, there could be something in that thing that you're assigning to them or delegating to them that makes it difficult for them to deliver it. And they're very scared to ask you, or they feel stupid if they do. And so this is why you have to nurture an environment that doesn't give them these feelings and actually gives them the opposite feelings. In fact, if you can make them feel smart for asking a question, that's so much better. That would be a culture that I would love to cultivate in my own team as well. Lastly, the last thing that would be really good to add on feedback loop is setting a clear expectation. So if you expect this to be done by a particular time, if it's delivered in a particular format, the quality of the work, if you have a benchmark or something that they can use as a sample or a reference, that would be great. The clearer you can make your expectation, the better the results will be. And there's also very, very little room for them to make mistakes. So by helping them, you're also helping you. And lastly, and this is my favorite part and my favorite tip in this masterclass on delegation, if you are still stuck, get professional help. So my first thought, because I'm biased, is of course to hire a managed outsourcing company that can help you think these through and can perfect the role and take care of onboarding and then assist you. We specialize in managerial roles, and we also have a lot of virtual assistants, tech roles, creative roles. We specialize on higher level roles, higher than a virtual assistant. And so creative, managerial, client success, we definitely help with that as well, placing these people. But aside from a managed outsourcing company, you can hire a consulting firm, maybe an operations consulting firm to help you clean up your operations. Of course, if it's pertaining to client or customer success, you can talk to Huckleberry Consulting. It's consulthuckleberry.com, and they will help you with that. There are also coaches who are really, really good at this, certain business coaches, certain productivity coaches, people who are, really efficient and are used to handling big teams, you can get help from them as well. I personally know and have met a lot of coaches who have really good experience running high pressure remote teams. So it would be awesome for you to talk to them. Executive coaches as well. So a lot of enterprise coaches have, they mostly do corporate contracts, but they'll also do, even for a smaller business, if it makes sense based on your hourly offer or something like that. So get professional help if you need it, because there's only so much help that you can get from books or YouTube videos or even a masterclass like this. So I basically walk you through the 101 in delegation, basically, and as much as possible, how you can do this all by yourself. But if you feel like you are still failing, or there's a particular angle that you don't see, like for example, we outsource to the Philippines, and a lot of people come to me for operations advice whenever they have a Philippine team. So they can't use our service anymore because they've already hired a team, basically, but they need help in managing them. And so that would be an angle as well. So this is why it's worth it sometimes to hire executive coaches or people who know a certain angle or a certain nuance, maybe a certain culture or a certain time or in their life. Like if you are, say, a baby boomer and you feel a little bit of disconnect with your Gen Z or millennial team, maybe a coach who deals with both generations or both age range, I would say, will also be of help to you. So those are our options. And that is basically it. This is our special episode for today, a masterclass on delegation. I hope you like it. If you have any questions, just post reply. If you're listening to this on Spotify, and if you also want to talk to me about it or give me your insights, feel free to message me on Instagram. Follow me at Carla Stefan, KarlaStefan. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook, Carla Stefan Singson. And I'm happy to have that conversation with you. I really love delegation because I'm an eldest child and I love mossing my sisters around. No, but also really, I feel very supported. I also, growing up poor, I found it difficult to kind of really own that identity of being a boss. And there's also a lot of negativity with the word boss sometimes. Like, the word bossy is somehow a negative characteristic or something, but I had to wrestle with with these thoughts and with this feeling of being supported. And from time to time, it would come up, I would end up doing something, and then I realize that, oh, I can just delegate this. And, anyway, a lot of trial and error, right? And now I'm in my mid-30s. I'm married. I live in Mexico. I'm pretty much, I really love my life, but also I realize that one of the reasons that I do is because I get a lot of support. I get a lot of support from my sisters, my husband, my home team. I call it my home team. So I have a cleaner that comes to my house to do a deep clean on my house and a cook. I've taught her my recipes because in Mexico, there's no Filipino restaurants here, maybe a few. But not in my city. And so I miss the food. And so I have a cook that comes to my house weekly and she cooks a big batch. And I have two masseuses that come and see me to I get a lymphatic drain massage and like a regular massage. The person who does my nails basically comes to my house and I've delegated in basic like I could do all of these things by myself, obviously. But I don't want to do that, and I want to delegate that those tasks basically. And of course, for my team, I have a full-on team that supports me. I love what I do though, and I'm really passionate with what I do. And so what I do is that the particular tasks in my business that I enjoy the most, those are the only things that I'm doing. And for now, that's copywriting and public speaking or kind of branding, brand ambassadoring, basically being my company's mascot and talking about our values. And it helps us not just get new clients and affiliates or partners, but also helps us create a good brand for my following in the Philippines so we can attract the best candidates. And so I really love what I do. It helps me show up better and it helps me not have to feel motivated to do the work. I just do the work. I believe in my mission and I love what I do and I'm good at it. And I think that I was able to get to these positive realizations because I was able to delegate a huge part of my life and outsource a huge part of my life that I don't enjoy doing, but are supportive to what I want to do. So that's the magic of delegation, guys. And so definitely try to learn it. There's also a lot of videos and books about it, but you can only get better at it the more you practice. That's really it. So more reps, more success. That's what I always say. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me here at None of Your Business for this masterclass in delegation. I'll see you next Monday for another wonderful episode. We have an exciting episode with an exciting guest and an exciting topic. And so I hope to see you next Monday. And if you love this episode, please feel free to drop us a 5-star review on Spotify, or if you're watching this on YouTube, I'd love for you to click like or subscribe. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week, and remember, everything here is none of your business.